Oh, I'm sorry. This has nothing to do, but I'm trying something new for sound dampening.
Ooh.
I forgot I had a piece of velvet, so I just have. It's nice. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. So,
Little bit of velvet hanging up.
yeah.
I wish I had some space. My apartment is so small that I'm like trying to think about where else I could do this, but my closet, like, it's not like a walk-in. I would just have to like be sitting halfway in the door.
Yeah,
So
that's
hopefully
basically.
this is like the best place
Oh
for
yeah.
this, but.
It's not too bad. We're just talking. We're not recording like hit vocals or
Oh no,
anything.
I was just
Yeah.
experimenting. Anyway.
And even then, you can get pretty good stuff from just like in the middle of a bedroom.
Yeah, I should have. My mom has a podcast, funny enough, and
Oh,
I
really?
love that
Does
she
she
does.
really?
She does, yeah. She talks to like different librarians and education people, but she's got the whole setup. She's got like this cool little microphone. I should have asked her to borrow it for this. I didn't even think about that. But I told her I was going to be on a podcast shoot, and she was like, great. And I was like, can I be on yours? And she's like, no, you sure as hell can't. I was like,
Oh.
cool.
Okay,
That's
Mom,
fair.
that's fine.
Aw.
Fueled by lore on a Tuesday, Wednesday. It's so hard finding the light of Thursday, Friday. Settle in the ashes. It's our way to talk a lot here.
What's that podcast called? I'm
It's
interested.
called Not a Rocking Chair Librarian.
Aw.
She spent some time as a librarian at a school and then kind of became like an education director for BVSD.
Oh.
And now she has this podcast that she does, which I find is adorable.
Oh, I love that. That's just kind of how it goes, is like all of a sudden you have a podcast. You're like, well, shit, okay. I guess we're here
Yeah.
now.
Randy, you said you weren't on this side of a podcast before. Do you have?
No,
Do
no,
you?
no, no, no,
Oh.
no, no. I mean, like, I listen to a lot of
Oh, I
podcasts, but I have
see.
never, like, been in the production side of a podcast.
Ooh, exciting.
I'm a very a little nervous, but the fact that there's no video component, because I look like this and you can see I have this awful sunburn coming in,
Oh.
that's a lot better. I appreciate that.
I was hanging out outside and I was so worried about the sunburn. I didn't get the sunburn, but I did have my black skinny jeans burn me, so that's great.
Ooh, yeah.
Love
I've
that.
made that mistake before.
I'm sure many of us can relate. Oh. Well,
Yeah.
hey.
Thanks for
Welcome,
having
Meredith.
me.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for being here. So, what do you do, Miranda? Tell us a
What do I
little.
do? Well, I just started painting, I guess, and I think
Just started,
that's why Patrick here asked me to be on. I was one of those people who got really bored in quarantine and decided to pick up a new hobby.
Oh.
I followed tattoo artist here in Denver who couldn't work for those like first couple months of shutdown, and she started painting jackets, and I was like, that's a really cool idea. I was sitting home bored. I was like, I can't just keep drinking every night. Like, I need something to do instead of just like getting drunk with my roommate.
Oh, those
So
quarantines.
I like went and bought just like a single can of paint, and I grabbed a jacket out of my closet, and I just started painting it. And I was like, this is something I haven't done since high school. I haven't painted since high school, and even then it was just like painting classes where no one really gave a shit. And after that, I was like, this is something I could do. It wasn't initially something that I was like going to do for like a side hustle. It was more of just something to do, because it was like April or May of last year when I couldn't even leave my house. And since then, it's just kind of become this thing of a way for myself to creatively express myself outside of jobs, I guess, that I've had in the past. I didn't think that that would take the form of like painting per se, but I'm kind of glad it did. It's been a really cool adventure for myself.
Yeah, what was the first thing you painted? I'm curious. What did you paint
Oh
on that
man. Oh, I
jacket?
sold it. I would show
Oh,
you, but
really? Hey.
not that the podcast would be able to see that. It's an audio medium.
Yeah.
I had this like really crappy H&M. I shouldn't say crappy. It's a nice jacket. Someone bought
Yeah.
it. denim shirt. And I just painted peonies on it. The same thing that I painted for Patrick a couple weeks ago. My favorite flower. It kind of became this thing that I liked painting, and like I said, I hadn't, and it's gotten a lot better. I look back at that first jacket now and I'm like, it was a rough go about it.
First draft is always a little fun.
Yeah. But it was just a super simple design, and I just wanted to see if I could do it. I mean, I had this idea of like, oh, I can paint a jacket. That's super easy. But once you start painting denim, it's so much different than painting canvas or painting like paper. It was a tricky experiment, but I found that having this thing that was this wearable piece of art was something more important than, to me at least, than something hung up on a wall. Or I like the idea that like somebody could take this out and about and like show off this cool thing that they have. It's not just this thing that's privately in their home that like only a couple people get to see. So that's why I kind of stuck with apparel wear, painting apparel wear.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really think about like art on the go in that sort of like context.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, I'm not trying to be, it's like egotistical and like, oh, wear my clothes out and show it off. But I think people take pride in owning something that's like really personalized and made especially for them. And if something's hanging on the wall in your house, only you and the people that you feel comfortable enough, especially right now, to bring over get to see it. But if it's something you can wear out and about, it's something that you can kind of show off and be proud of. And it is a cool way to kind of get your art out there, especially for somebody who's doing kind of a print, I guess, art. It's not like I can upload to Spotify like Patrick can and share his music that way. Like, it's kind of a little bit harder to share your work, I guess. My 94 Instagram followers are great, but they're not out there like peddling my work for me. So getting to do peeps is for people who can go out and share it is also a great way to market, I think.
Yeah, that makes me think a lot about enamel pins. I don't know if you've ever thought about partaking in those, but those are a really exciting project, I think, for a lot of artists and collectors, too. Like, people who like to, like, have art on them and be like, check this out. Like,
I didn't even think about the fact that there are so many, like, customized enamel pins. Mm-hmm. That must just come from, what, drawing it out and you upload it somewhere? I have no idea how you go about making those.
It's a bit of a process, but if you don't do them yourself, which I guess could be a little complicated, you find somebody to do it. I mean, I don't really know of any DIYs. If you guys know some good DIYs, hit me up. I would love to. Anyway, I don't know. I just think they're interesting. And well, what do you paint on jackets?
It's been a little bit of everything. I've definitely found kind of a focus in floral details. I don't know why that's been like the thing that kind of drew me into it, but because I am such a novice painter, like I don't have the technical skills to like whip out. I've seen this jacket all over Pinterest that's like this rendition of Van Gogh's Starry Night. I'm like, that looks amazing, but I don't know. It would just be me splashing paint around. Like, I don't have the technical skills behind it. So I found that when I paint florals, it's kind of open to interpretation. I mean, everyone recognizes a floral as a floral, and unless you like want a very specific flower, it's kind of just like, oh, that's like a nice floral detail. And it being so organic and every flower is different, it's not like I'm stuck to a very strict visual of what it's supposed to look like. I have had projects where somebody wants like a really specific, iconic, recognizable image, and for something like that, like I'll definitely make a stencil of it. I want to make sure that that's perfectly what they are expecting, and then I always try to incorporate some sort of details that aren't stenciled, that are free-handed, just to kind of allow me that creative freedom that I was talking about. But stencils on fabric is hard. It's not super easy.
I've only really painted on like canvas and like wood and stuff like that, so that's like a really interesting medium to me, because you were talking about how it's so different.
And I go through, I mean, I think I probably go through more paint than I would. I have a canvas sitting in my living room right now that's trashed. I need to restart it, because I was like, I can paint canvas, it's gonna be so much like painting jackets, and it's completely not. Like, the techniques I was using on jackets and I try to convert it to canvas was not easy. But yeah, I mean, when you're painting, especially denim, like it's so porous and it soaks up so much material that, especially when you try to like start blending colors together, like they just get stuck in those pockets. It's not like canvas where you have a smooth surface to kind of blend things out onto. If I want to blend colors, I have to put down like two base layers of paint that give me a nice like acrylic surface to work on. Mm-hmm. So I go through, I ended up switching to, for like those base layers, I just go to Home Depot and get house paint now. Because, like, those little things are so much cheaper. House cleaning is
fucking underrated, I tell you what.
It's great, and if you just mix a little bit of water with it, it, like, dilutes it to a point where you can actually use it. And I put acrylic on top of it. You're not just getting a jacket with, like, house paint, because that seems kind of cheap. But for those first couple layers, I'm like, I can't just keep piling through acrylic paint just to put down white base layers. So definitely learned, like, ways to make it easier. But I like the challenge. I like working with something that, as the person wears it and moves, like, how is it going to shift? Like, what are the designs going to look like when you're hunched over, when you're standing up straight, or when you put the jacket on? Like, all those little things go into how it works as a piece of art rather than just a static portrait on a wall. Not that those are bad. I'm trying to get into that now, but it's a different, much different medium.
Oh, I can totally imagine. It moves, like you were saying.
And it and over time, and I'm excited to see some of my pieces in a couple of years, because, I mean, acrylic, when it dries, it turns into, like, a plastic. And I have a jacket that I kept for myself where the whole back plant panel is completely whited out, and I've noticed that over time it's starting to, like, crack and wear in a little bit, which I always warn people when they get jackets, like, this will wear. It's not going to be, like, a perfect thing. It's not going to look like it did on the day you got it. But I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see those cracks and those wears and tears on the paint as it ages and kind of becomes more customized to the person who's wearing it.
Art that, you know, keeps adding its own expression to itself as it goes on.
Mm. Yeah.
Get a character. There we go.
Yeah.
Character. Yes. It adds character as you, which might be my, like, subtle way of saying that.
Nothing lasts forever.
It's going to age. It's not going to be perfect. I'm not a perfect artist. But yeah, it'll add character. I like that way of phrasing it. But it's been fun. It's been a fun little journey, and I wanted it, and it still has been. I mean, I was worried that when I started painting, I was like, oh, once quarantine is lifted, I'm not going to get back to this. Like, this is just a fun little hobby on the side. But life is back to normal now, and working full time and trying to find time to paint, I'm like, this is still something that I care about doing and want to have as a side hustle and have as a creative expression and do outside of my day-to-day job that can give me, like, creative fulfillment and a little economic fulfillment too, which is kind of nice.
I love that, because then with, like, some of these, like, creative pursuits and stuff, like, for instance, like, this podcast, it's become like, oh, this matters and, like, it's important to me, so I'm always gonna, like, make sure that I go out and do it. And it's always kind of fun to, I mean, I guess, like, starting new projects and then sticking to them, I think that says a lot about just what's important to you. And sometimes I feel like you didn't realize that, you know, aspect of yourself was important to you until you kind of, you know, gave it a shot. And I just think that's kind of cool that a lot of people are getting that opportunity recently. And I'm glad you got that opportunity to, you know, find your...
Well, I feel like it stems a lot, like, us as creative types, we have this underlying passion. It's not just, like, I don't know, people do things as a side hustle. Like, you can sell plants as a side hustle, and maybe that is a passion of yours, but I feel like creative types have such an underlying passion that, like, even if we're tired, even if we've worked a 10-hour shift, even if it's, like, 12 o'clock at night, but we still need to get some sort of fulfillment, we will sit down and do it. Like, it's for me, it's like, if I have a jacket that I know needs X, Y, and Z done to it, I won't sleep until it's done. Like, I have to fulfill myself that way, and I don't know if that's the same with you guys. Like, it's like when an idea pops into your head, like, either you have to write it down or record it. Or I think that's something that creative types have, where it's like, it has to happen right now or else it's going to be gone forever and I can't get it back.
Yeah. It's just that, like,
things that way.
Yeah. It's that, like, I got to write it down, or I've got to get some idea. I have to capture this idea somehow so I can, you know, build from it at least or something. Or for me, sometimes it's been, oh, I'm recording this part and it's just not right yet. And then I'll stay up until the next thing I know, it's like 1 o'clock and I'm like, oh, I'm so close, but I need to finish this.
Yeah.
But then you hit, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I have found that throughout my experience painting, I hit these, like, really high peaks and valleys. Like, I'm super inspired. I think, Patrick, when you gave me your project, I was like, I picked it up that day and I was like, okay, I'm hitting this high. Like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to paint it right away. And I get home and I think about it more and I start it. And then I remember I had one bad day of painting and it sunk me. I was like, I'm not touching this again. Like, I cannot look at it. Dude. I was so excited about it. And now I'm just, like, so, like, just deterred from working on it anymore. And then, like, a week later, I picked it back up. I was like, all right, like, back on this train. I know what I'm doing now. And I think that I've never experienced that in anything else I've done, of like total excitement to total devastation and then having to pick it back up and get going again is really tricky.
Yeah, shit's fucking hard, especially when you're like this is what I need to do this thing, but it's like it's burned you. You're like, you're like, I can't. Yeah, I start and stop a lot of things like that way. I'm like, this is gonna be great. I know what's going on. I had this like little sketch. I'm like, this is gonna be the new thing. Yeah. And then it just sort of loses its luster.
Yeah.
But that's why those projects where you're like, this is it, and you just grind through it, I think that's why they're so important sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a very strict bedtime, so like I can't work through the night anymore. But yeah, I love that fucking grind sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting that we have that, because like we experience that in the band, like recording albums kind of thing. So it's not like, it's always, I guess it's just kind of nice to know that it's not just one person. And even if you're working with a group of people, it can straight up affect the entire group too.
Yeah.
And it can just hit you, because it can just be like, oh, we need to finish recording this. So, but then that, you know, we've got to schedule this, that, the other thing to get in and record. And sometimes we would go there. There's certain times where we just had like dry spells where we were like, oh, we're so ready to do this, get this part done. And then all of a sudden it just kind of like, you know, hit a wall
almost. Well, so how do you two, as people who create art and live in that world, how do you get yourself out of those ruts? I mean, do you have a certain method of like, for me, it's been deadline driven a lot, which is unfortunate. And I wish it was a little bit different, but I'm curious to know, like, is there something you do that creates that like lights that spark again? Or
I don't think there's like one thing. Like, it can be certain things, like for sometimes it's deadline driven, and then over quarantine, like when I was just kind of holed up for a while, one thing that I did was is like, okay, like I told myself like, oh, I'm gonna write a song every day, and I'm gonna like push myself to get to finish that song, or at least get like a really solid idea figured out about that song kind of thing. And whether or not I ended up liking that idea in the end, I would go through the motion of like writing a song. So that, and like, there's a lot of benefits that come from that. And I personally felt those benefits by just kind of like, I mean, I hate to say it, but like forcing yourself to do some of these things, because then you get back in the motions and eventually, like, especially with like songwriting and stuff. And I've talked about this before. It's like, you can take bits of songs and then patch them together in a new song later on. So it's kind of like, oh, like I didn't like this song as a whole, but I really liked this verse melody, or I liked this lyric line or something. And sometimes it's just kind of like really pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and just doing the damn thing to, you know, try something new. And I'd say that musically, I'm currently in this and like one of those valleys right now. I haven't really written anything in a while, but I'm getting excited, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to pick, you know, get some kind of inspiration from something. I'm going on a road trip, and I got a backpacking guitar with this little skinny thing. So I'm excited, maybe, you know, just going out and doing something out of the ordinary than my normal day-to-day life will kind of help dislodge me from that. But who's to say whether or not it will? And sometimes it's just, you know, all of a sudden you get hit with an idea. And like, I guess like for me, one thing that can help sometimes, and that I've heard from other musicians, is don't forget that you can like work on the pieces that you like that other people make. So for instance, for songs, it's like, oh, I like this song, so I'm going to try covering it and learn how to play this song. And then you get to kind of dive into this, you know, this other artist's brain and be like, oh, this is, I really like how this chord progression goes. And so I'm actually interested if there's like an equivalent for you guys on kind of the illustration and like, you know, painting side of that. Like if you would just kind of recreate something, or just kind of go out and do, what's it called? I guess just kind of paint whatever you want, or just like, oh, I'm going to try and work on this or something, or I've wanted to paint this. Like, I guess more like maybe passion projects. I don't know.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is I recently discovered an artist on Instagram who, she does this really amazing, like, watercolor acrylic, I don't even know how to describe it. She basically like uses excuse me, paint that's like mixed with water and has these really beautiful fluid motions. And again, I was like, it was the same thing with the woman who started me on painting jackets. I saw it and I was like, oh, let me see if I can recreate that. Like, let me just try it. It turned out horrible. it's turned around in my living room right now because I can't bear to look at it. But that was something that was like, I didn't have a jacket. I didn't have any commissions lined up, but I still like wanted to paint and express myself and try something different. So I did try that. But I don't know. I also, because my work so far has kind of been monetary based, like I take commissions. I have projects only when people are willing to pay for it. It's been hard to motivate myself outside of that, I guess. Like I do really enjoy painting and it has been a really great hobby to have, but for the most part it's been kind of motivated by money, which is shitty. Like that's not where I wanted this to go, but I have not found the time outside of somebody commissioning a project to just paint a jacket on my own. And I don't know if that inspiration will come from, finding something I've seen around that I want to recreate or try something similar in. But I have heard a lot of people say, like, do it every day. Just, like, do something little every day and break through that wall of, like, this shouldn't be so hard to just do. Mm-hmm. And that after, like, people say, like, a month of doing something straight is when you form a habit, right? If you do something for a month straight, then you start picking up a habit. I just haven't done that. I haven't motivated myself to do that.
And I feel like it's kind of scary to do that kind of thing, because then it's like, well, if I'm like, you know, forcing myself to do this every day kind of thing, like, is it genuine anymore? Yeah. And I think that's a tough one. And actually there's this book that I have, and I have started reading it several times. It's The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, I believe. And I've listened to a ton of podcasts, like Self-Helpless, and it's also come up a couple times on Song Exploder. And so basically, like, it's, you know, kind of this little self-help book for creatives. And so there's a couple of ideas that are really cool that she brings up that I have used intermittently and I should try and use more often. And one of them that I think is super interesting is this thing called, like, morning pages. And so the idea is that first thing you do when you wake up is you just free write just any kind of idea, and the idea is it just kind of gets your brain like started, and also it gets you to stop checking your phone first thing in the morning. I don't think that was the initial intended use of that, because I'm pretty sure this book was written like early 2000s before smartphones started. But like the idea is like you know it's almost just like a stream of consciousness idea kind of thing, you know, basically just get kind of like gunk or whatnot out of your brain, get the weird stuff. And you know what? Something might come from that. But the idea is that you don't have to look at those pages ever again. Mm-hmm. And then like in Song Exploder, again, on the Rivers Cuomo episode, he mentioned he did that. And sometimes he will actually just, he'll file them away. And then a week later, we'll go back and look at them and be like, that's weird. That's a cool song lyric kind of idea kind of thing. And pick from there, because it kind of shows, like, I guess to an extent, where your subconscious sort of is sitting, and you can kind of, you know, hone in on, you know, little things that are affecting you, and that can in turn spark some inspiration, which I think is interesting. Mm-hmm. And then another have one was you, like a
have you as a songwriter have you tried that have you found that helpful
I've done that I mean, actually, that was one thing, that was the closest thing that got me to jump starting back into like songwriting again, actually. Mm-hmm. Was every now and then I'll just have like this kind of like this in my phone, I have the notes app, and just, every now and then it's just like the stream of consciousness, like here's an idea thing, like here's an idea, or like here's what I'm feeling or thinking about right at this moment that I feel like inspired that I want to act on, but I don't know where to put it right now. And I found some from like 6 years ago and whatnot, and some of them are like really cringy, really bad ideas. Some of them I was like, that's actually kind of a cool little line. And so then I was like, oh, I can, like, I guess it's just nice to look back at those things and be like, you know, I might not have any ideas right now, but I have ideas in the past that I like that I've forgotten about. And that can kind of, you know, at least for me, it's jump-started my hope a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And kind of like, because I think it's, you know, it's kind of this battle between you, your shame, and then also just like your feeling of like self-confidence when it comes to like creating things. Mm. And so it's easy to, you make a mistake or like, you know, you make a mistake in a painting, or like I listen back to recording, be like, ooh, that didn't turn out good at all kind of thing. And then I'm just like, oh, there's no point to do this anymore. I can't pull it off. And then it's just hard to recover from that sometimes. But
yeah. Sometimes it doesn't work. Like, yeah. That's just it, you know? Something similar like that I would do is like I try to sketch pretty often. I don't do it as much as I probably should to stay sharp, as they would say. But I think people need to get over the first time you do something, even for the day, for the week, like whatever. Gonna be a little rusty.
Not gonna be great.
Yeah. So that's why something like that, getting out of bed and just doing something real quick, could just get you started. Like, it's not gonna be good. I mean, it could be, but don't expect it to be.
But it's like, yeah, I guess it's liking to like, okay, so wake up, mm-hmm. record a song right now, like record your final version, or paint your, like, that's such an unrealistic expectation to have the first thing you do. Cause I mean, I haven't picked up my paintbrushes in probably 2 weeks, and the thought of like sitting down in a jacket and putting a paint down, like, it's not going to be good. It's probably not going to be up to par. So yeah, having that moment of like, okay, this isn't something that needs to be published or shown. This is your own private work, just to like re-spark that interest or get your fingers going again. Like, that seems like such a more approachable way of getting out of those valleys, rather than being like, well, it has to be perfect right now because this is going live. Yeah. Like, that's terrifying to think about. You can't just do that right off the bat. Like, you're not the best painter in the world. You're not the best songwriter in the world. Not you guys, just in general. Like, you can't assume that the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is going to be like making a masterpiece. That's just, that's so unrealistic.
Even if you've been at it all day, like,
I love that you put it that way. Like, that's like really freeing to me too, because I feel like that's something that I hang myself up on too, is just like, I've been songwriting for so long, yada yada. It's like, and I write a song and I'm like, that was shit, what are you doing? But it's like, you know, you're not gonna write, like you said, you're not gonna write masterpieces, you're not gonna make masterpieces just 24/7. That's not how it works. Like, even if you look at, like, let's take like, you know, musical artists and stuff, like, there's some that have a huge amount of hits, but when you take a second and look at like the entire team that went into making all of those songs, is that went through so many hands before you see the final product. And on top of that, I can only imagine, like, we talked about this in like previous episodes, like the graveyards for these kind of artists. Like, especially like whether you're a painter or whatnot. And I think Cameron mentioned, like, and I think this would be kind of a cool thing, is he said that one thing that really excites him is people's sketchbooks. And he loves like seeing people's sketchbooks, because like it's basically all the rejected ideas. And he's just like, well, where did your, you know, creative process on some of these ideas start? Where did they come from? And he's like, it's, for him, he said it's fascinating because it's like looking into an artist's mind, which is like the coolest thing. And it's, you know, it's seeing behind the curtain. And I think, and then Alex also brought this up, that it's kind of a lot of like the general public has this sense of like disconnect from the final version of art, that they don't quite understand or realize everything that goes into it. And I think that that's huge. And that's not something I really hadn't thought about. And I think that's something that we don't think about as often, is most people don't know everything that goes into it. They don't know all of the, you know, failures that happen and like the rejected ideas that, you know, that occur before you get to that final product. And so I think it's just, you know, it's hard to remind yourself that, you know, it's not a one and done deal. We had a joke with recording where, which I think it added a lot of levity, was, so our drummer's name is Nate. And then I think there was like one or two times when he's like, I'm going to go in and be one take Nate, just to like, you know, go and record it on the first try, hit it perfectly. And, you know, sometimes it happens, but it doesn't always happen. So,
yeah, I mean,
not all
of us
are perfect one take Nates.
You get those magic moments for sure where, like, you pick things up and the creative juices are flowing and it just takes off. But I think for me, at least, being somebody who's a perfectionist, like, it's gonna take a lot of tries. And yeah, my graveyard is huge. I have sketchbooks mm-hmm. all over the place of things that probably to somebody else are really good and interesting to see, but it's not something I'm willing to publish to the world. like, those are my sketchbooks. Those are hidden for me. But when you talk about like what the end user sees, yeah, I mean, they see this glorious final project. And I think for us, like, I know a little bit about your guys' creative pursuits. It's not like we have a team of 80 people behind us and each 80 person is a perfectionist who's going to make it perfect. Like, it's just our own insight and what we deem to be perfect and what we deem like presentable to our clientele. And I think that can help and hinder you. Like, yeah, you don't have 80 eyes on it, but you have one and you have your own. And that's like, if you are creating your own art, that should be the only pair of eyes that matter. But sometimes things don't work out and you have to put them in the graveyard and move on and go on to the next thing, which is hard to do because it could be something that you really like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I can't imagine the pressure like you have personally in like the way you're making art is like, if I have like a bad draft on a piece of paper, like that's it. I can get more paper. Like, girl, you're painted on jackets. That can't be.
Oh man. I posted once. I was, to my 94 Instagram followers, I was like, come with me as I paint today. Like, let's do a walkthrough. Aww. And I was just like, I was posting every now and then, but it truly is like, I can sit and sketch, like pencil comes out of denim or anything pretty easily. So I can do that all day. But yeah, I mean, the minute you put down acrylic on something that someone has bought for themselves or bought you to paint, like mm-hmm. they've already invested X amount of money in this. I'm also charging them. Like this is a one shot kind of like the minute I start putting paint down, I can cover it up. But the more and more paint you get, the thicker the jacket becomes. Like it just gets, I think I'll have like four layers of paint down. So if one or two of those are a fuck up, like I'm already hurting myself in the long run. So it is really scary to start. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of my projects, I've factored in about an extra week when I get commissions of random panic time where I don't paint and I just stare at it.
That's a good fucking, you gotta give yourself that time to.
Cause I know it's going to happen with every project. Like mm-hmm. I can make a stencil and sketch it, but yeah, it's going to take me a minute to put paint down. Cause that's scary. I mean, starting any project is scary, especially when it's permanent. It's terrifying. Yeah. And I want my clients to be happy. Like mm-hmm. I want what, when they hand over a jacket, I want what they see in their brain to be what they get back. And it's finding that balance of between like their expectations, what they're expecting to see, my artistic input. Is it what they wanted? Like, is it exactly what they pictured? Is it something that they're going to be proud wearing? There's a lot that goes into it. Patrick, are you happy? Was it what you expected it to look like?
Yes. Oh, good. They turned out incredible. So I guess for everyone listening, Miranda painted a denim jacket for me because I actually saw the first one that you did mm-hmm. and I think you'd posted it for sale and I was like, oh, I love that. And then you brought it and I did not fit in it, unfortunately. I was ready to buy it right then and there, which I think in the long term I'm happy for, because then mm-hmm. I got myself a denim jacket and then I also got my suitcase drum, which you also did, which I am in love with. I love okay. that thing. So
I'm not just fishing for compliments here, but I do want to make sure that it's what you wanted.
I'm super excited to finally go and play live music. And I guess, you know, circling back to, you know, where we feel on like peaks and valleys, like I'm hoping that being able to play live music again will help pull me from, you know, any kind of valley, because I mean, I guess that's, you know, it's part of the aspect of my art that I like the most is performing live. So, yeah, no, they turned out so good. They look so good. Oh my God.
I'm glad.
It's even.
Well, I'm excited here for you to play live music too. I mean, I think I talked to you when we were working on this piece that like, I kept it for a little longer than probably I should have, but I was like, he's not playing live shows yet. Like I've got until he plays live shows, but I can imagine as somebody who like had done that before with Maddie's Changed and has kind of been in that world of music to not do that. I mean, I can't imagine how singer-songwriters, artists, and musicians dealt during quarantine. I mean, people who not only do it as a passion, but make their living off of it. Like, that must have been so hard to not even have the option to, I mean, yeah, I guess you could go to like Pearl Street and play on the corner, but that's not the same as playing in the show at all.
No, it's, yeah, like, it's definitely been hard. And like, the live streams are cool, but it, again, it's just not the same. You know, and I wish there was a good, you know, quarantine substitute for, you know, live shows or live performances or something. But as far as I'm aware, we just haven't, you know, figured that one out yet.
Yeah. But hopefully you don't have to, and you can go play a live show soon.
Hopefully. Yeah. Get vaccinated, people, please.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking earlier when I was thinking and stressing about this podcast, what I've been trying to ask people that I know who are independent creators, kind of how they have monetized themselves, because it's something that I've struggled with ever since I started. I mean, when I first started doing this, like I said, it was just kind of a side passion and started charging like super cheap. I was like, I just want to do it. Like, just give me a jacket and I'll paint it for really cheap. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, this is something that I want to make money off of. And it's, I think I need to value myself at a price that is good for me and the client. Like, I don't want to pretend like I'm the best painter in the world and upcharge people. But I also feel really uncomfortable sometimes charging or putting out a value that is too much, that I think. So I'm curious how you guys, if you do monetize your work, how you like settled on a place that feels comfortable doing that.
I don't really get a choice too much on the price of my music, unfortunately. Unless we're doing like hard copy CDs, which just don't sell these days. Unfortunately, like I still have like 50 Maddie's Changed full-length album CDs just sitting around, because, you know, CDs just aren't the rage anymore, which is okay. Yeah, that's interesting. And that's also something that I've always been, you know, concerned about when I get to work with other artists and stuff. Like when we do graphic design artists who do t-shirts for me, or when I have like an album cover get created, or photographers and videographers who do this, that, and the other thing, is that, like, especially, like, I have to say, like, I think that's one of the, like, personally, just in my experience, like, seeing from shows, is like, that's something that, like, everybody always needs. And I feel like it's a particular, you know, artistic avenue that gets super undervalued. And that a lot of people try and take advantage of that. Just like, oh, you take pretty good pictures, just do it for exposure, kind of thing. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I feel like a lot of people do that. And this can even expand off into like the tech world, because I know people try and take advantage of people they know and friends who are, you know, coders, like, oh, can you design this app or this website for me, kind of thing? And I'll, you know, it'll be good exposure for you. And that's hard, because it's hard to break into a lot of scenes, I think, without, you know, essentially this getting past the unpaid internship phase, which is bullshit. Like, you're putting in a lot of work, and it's, you know, your skill, your experience, like, and that's worth something. And that's, and it's hard, like you said, it's hard to find like a good value to charge for that kind of thing. And I think it's super arbitrary, and it's super difficult to do that. And I think it also kind of plays back into a lot of people don't understand all of the work that goes behind the finished product. And so I think that we can help at least get to a better understanding if more people are willing to learn about that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just see, like you said, like they see the pretty pictures at the end of a concert, or they have the painting in their hands. They're like, oh, great, this is what I wanted. But it is the hours and the time and the education behind it. And I also, I'm starting a side gig where I have a background in interior and architecture. And so I'm starting something in that field. And it's this idea of like, where do I value my IP? Where do I value what I personally can create that literally nobody else can? And how is that received by others, especially others who might not be on our side of things, who don't know that literally every creative task out there has hours and hours of production and education behind it. they just see the final product being like, oh, I could do that. But no, you can't. Like, not everybody can pick up paintbrushes or a guitar or a camera and produce the things that these people do. So I think there needs to be somewhat of a re-education of like, yes, creative work is valued work, and it's not just this thing that people can easily produce and put in your hands, but it's something that takes a lot behind the scenes. And it's your intellectual property. Like, it's something that literally only you can think of and produce, and that has a ton of value behind it. And I think that's what's getting undervalued in all this, and what I'm struggling to value of myself. Like, what is my IP worth? I don't know. And I want people to pay for it, but I don't want to charge too much.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and that's tough, especially, like, even with, like, the, you know, I don't know, just, like, you know, in podcasting, how do you, you know, like, this is, I really love doing this, and I didn't foresee loving doing this, but, you know, I had kind of the skills with, like, recording to be able to pull it off, and then it was like, shit, this is a lot of fun, and I love doing it, and it'd be cool to, you know, make a living off of it, but I think that's one thing that's, you know, to an extent really frustrating about being an independent creator is facing down the reality that this thing that you love doing and you're willing to put so much work into might not have like an economic, I guess, upside, a bunch of the times. And I think that's, you know, kind of dampening a lot of, I guess, creative spirits and creative potential in a lot of people across like society, and that sucks because like art goes for granted, it gets taken for granted like every single day, and there's really not like a clear set way to, you know, make it super monetized. Like, people are getting creative and finding ways, which is incredible, and I love that, but it's
also like, where do you draw the line between passion and a job? Like, I don't know, it sounds, now that I'm thinking about it, it sounds shitty to be like, I need to get paid for this thing because it's what I do. Mm-hmm. When I do genuinely really enjoy doing it, it shouldn't be something that is only monetary driven. But
yeah,
just because you like doing something doesn't mean you can't make money off it.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
And it does tend to stifle me sometimes, that if I feel like I'm not being paid enough for the project, I'm not motivated to do it, whereas it shouldn't be that way. I mean, I think there should be projects where I should be paid, I'm not getting paid at all, and I still want to do it. And I don't know if there's a balance, and maybe it's my own personal passion that's like just not sparked enough. But I also, I couldn't imagine doing this like full time and having it become something that I hate because it's the only thing that I do to make money. That's also like I think the opposite end of the spectrum, where it's like, this is your job now, so wake up 9 to 5 and do it, and you're going to hate it in a year and a half. Like, don't want to hit that point either.
Yeah, that's the tough part with like, especially these like creative pursuits, that I think it's just, you know, there is some kind of balance where, yeah, I would love to do these things for, you know, and live off of, you know, doing these things, like, because I feel like that would just be so enjoyable, because I love doing it now. So, you know, why not be able to do that, or at least like help other people do it as well, or something to that sort, would be so cool and so much fun. And I feel like I'd love life. But at the same time, I feel like it is also easy to get to that point where it's like, oh, we have to do this again. And like, when does it, where does the, you know, does the passion have an end point?
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, I think it is there, and for some people, it isn't. And like, that's, I guess that's also, that's not specific or, what's it called? Specific, or what is the word? Oh no. Or like individual. I'm like circling this word.
Unique?
Unique, yes. It is not unique to creative pursuits. Like, you have people who are out in the world and they, you know, are following one career and it's fulfilling for them until they hit a point. And I guess it's just, they feel like they've done everything they can do in that career, and then they just change paths entirely. Yeah. And like, I'd feel like the same exact thing is with creative pursuits. Like, you can, and we've seen that within like the Denver local scene, like Postcards. Aiden just hit a point, and like, he posted this whole thing about how music just wasn't fulfilling for him anymore, and it's what he loved doing, and it's all he really wanted to do for a while, but it hit a point where it was like, this isn't enough, and then rip postcards, and we brought him up again successfully. And like, that's unfortunate, but you know,
I guess you hope in those situations too that like they find a different outlet, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think I've known I'm a creative person since I was old enough to pick up a pencil and doodle. And I know that that'll always be something that I'm passionate about. So even if it's not painting, I will find something else to at least pursue that. So you hope that when you see, like a band member leave or an artist take a hiatus or completely stop, that they find some other creative passion. Because I think it's ingrained in us. Like people who create are going to be people who create the rest of their lives. And maybe it's not in the same medium that they've been in, but you're allowed to change. You're allowed to switch it up. I mean, I can only imagine being in a band for a ton, like several years, and then finally being like, this is scary, but I'm not okay with this anymore. I have to do something different. I don't want to hit that point. I'm scared to try and pick up a new hobby because I'm so new at mine. But I think that it's a cool opportunity that we're given as creative types. We can kind of fluctuate in our passions and our careers, and maybe it's not going to make you the most money. I mean, I'm not making a ton of money off mine. I have a job. Like, I have things to do, but it's still something that I will always need to be fulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, like, what I want is that I want there to be, like, a more solid basis for, like, artistic careers. Because it almost feels like when you're shuffled through school, the options are like, oh, well, you're going to get lucky and make it big, or you're going to teach the art, which, as we like recently and heartbreakingly discussed with Alex, was that, you know, that's not that great of an option sometimes, which sucks. And I think that it just, like, it shouldn't be that way, ultimately. Like, it doesn't have to, you know, it's not saying like, oh, I should be able to make so and so much money. It's like, there just needs to be more options to, you know, live off of these things and, you know, make something kind of thing. And I think that it's hard where we have a lot of other jobs where it's like, oh, this labor is worth X amount of money. And that's like set. And we just don't have that with the arts, and it's difficult to put a label to, and whether or not we should put a label to it ultimately.
Well, that's something I keep, like, thinking about. I don't sell much stuff because I don't really put it out there. And I haven't because I think we need to try, like, just in my brain, it's like, you need to value the money you spent creating this thing, the time you spent, and then value yourself. Like you were saying, Miranda, like, this is the art that I'm creating. This person isn't creating my art. I am. So that's something, like, I think the consuming people need to understand and value, and for us as people who make these things to respect in ourselves. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, and I think if we did something like that, artists, it'd be,
yeah.
I think being somebody who is in the visual arts, like, yeah, there is a lot of undermining of the value of what it's worth. I mean, billionaires out there will pay tons of money for really famous paintings, but equal work is being created by people, lesser known people. And maybe it's an oversaturated market. Maybe it's just a general undervaluing of people's creative content. But yes, I think there is a huge disconnect between having a creative talent and being able to showcase that in a way that feels fulfilling to yourself. And if you're monetizing it that way, I think it's really frustrating, especially for somebody who I think doesn't have a wide base of people and is not creating something that's valued at multi-millions of dollars. But I don't want it to stifle my creativity. I don't want it to hinder me from making things. But yeah, I mean, I've had people who I've told prices to, and they're like, no, that's too much. I'm like, it's too much to pay for a personalized piece of wearable art. That seems crazy. Like, if this is something you wanted, you will pay and you will understand. And I've even had people who are creative types tell me that they wouldn't pay for that. I'm like, you know what's going into it. Like, you as somebody who creates things and has IP, you should know that this is what I'm charging and not question that. I think that's insane. But Hey, I didn't paint them a jacket. They missed out.
They're not mine. Seriously, like, if somebody says, like, no, I'm not going to pay for your art, then fuck them. Like, okay, next. Like,
Yeah, I think, and it's also, I guess, like, with my, like, who I am as a person, like, if I was in that situation, I would definitely hesitate, like, A, around, like, my self-confidence, and also B, just, like, you know, I'm a little bit of, you know, you know, pushover to an extent. So it'd just be kind of like, and how many people, you know, do get into that situation and, you know, don't have the self-confidence or like the value in themselves to say, no, like, this is what it's worth. And, you know, that can lead to not being fulfilled by your art, and just not really wanting to do it anymore, because especially if you're taking commissions like that, and if you get pushed around too much, it can, you know, basically fizzle
out.
It beats you down.
It puts you at a point where it's like, okay, well, people aren't willing to pay for this, so why am I doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I wish I could pick up my paints and paint something for myself. But especially, like, painting jackets, I have one. I don't need more than one painted jacket by myself, because I'm not going to be the person that only wears her own clothing out and about. Like, I want to sell to people, but I also... And that's the thing too. Like, I want people to have these things that I create, and if it's too much, then I feel guilty. Like, okay, well, I want you to have this. I know you want to have it. I will come down on my price to make sure that the client is happy. The customer is always right. I worked retail for years. That's what you're told. Like, the customer is always right. So you want to make them happy. But now that I've branched out from kind of selling to my friends, I think I'm going to be a little bit more comfortable charging more. Like, looking at my friends being like, pay me $300 for a jacket. They're like, fuck you. No, like, we're buddies. Cut me a deal. And I'm like, okay, fine. Like, I don't want to ruin this friendship over this side hustle that I have. But now that I'm trying to sell to strangers, I'm like, yeah, give me all your money. Yeah. You want something customized? You reach out to me. I feel more comfortable charging you the prices. Mm-hmm. It's still awkward though. It's still weird being like, hey, pay me for this thing.
And, you know, it's a little complicated because people are like, oh, well, you're trying to, like, you know, stand up for this, like, price on your art, but then you let other people, like, but they're like, I don't know. I think it's different charging less for, like, people who are, like, deeply ingrained in your life and support you as a person, as opposed to some rando who's like, hey, I want that too. And you're like, you mean nothing to me in my life. So, like,
you're right.
I'm
it
not
should
gonna
be.
Give, yeah.
It should be the fact that, like, your friends are like, hey, I support you. I'd love to pay you all the money. But, and the strangers give you pushback because they're like, I don't know, I'm not invested in you or your career. I just want this cool thing that you do. But I have found it not to be the case. Friends ask for deals, which is fine. We're buddies. But I have a friend who's a hairstylist and she went through the same thing. She's like, my friends keep asking me for discounts, but it's her way of living. Like, it's kind of unfair to ask her for discounts on something like that. But she's also like, this is my creative process. Like, you can't devalue that. That's super unfair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We like I said, people just need to respect this takes something from like to do. Like, I'm just not like, we're not printing a JPEG off Google to like thumbtack to your jacket or like thumbtack to a wall. This is something we're making it or like writing and like recording and editing, and like, that's it.
You gotta pay people for what they're worth. And it's hard. I mean, like I said, I've only been doing this for a couple months, almost a year now. I've been doing it for a year now. And so I am like, I'm new. I'm a novice. I'm figuring out how good I am at this thing. So I can't compete with these people who have been doing this for a super long time and can charge those prices. But I also just want to paint and get my work out there. And at least from when I was painting for my friends, I was like, yeah, I will paint you one for a discounted price, post on your Instagram, like, grow my following. If that's how we're going to subsidize this price cut, like, I'll make that work. But now I want to make more money off of it.
Yeah.
I think that's only fair.
Okay. So I would love to get a little bit into the good old lore here.
Yes.
So you were saying that, like, you could tell that you were, like, a creative, like, right when you could, like, pick up pencils and doodle. Was there, like, a really formative part, especially since you're doing, like, drawing and painting, was there, like, any time that you noted was, like, a memorable time. It's like, oh, like I am a, I can create things, and this is something that I love. Like, is there like a definitive moment?
That's, sorry, I have that question written down as well. I say, like, what made you go, this totally fucks, and pursue it?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think back to, like, really, really early days. Well, so I remember, I can't remember how old I was a kid. I got one of those, I'm sure you guys had them. It was like a big book, plastic book, and you opened it, and it was like markers, pencils, oh, colored yes. pencils, yes. like an eraser, and it was like a little black book. It was a big black book. It was like, oh, it was, God, I don't know, probably the size of my lap. Markers yeah. I remember I got one of those. I was like, this is so cool. Look at all these tools put in front of me. And I like fucked around and just, I was probably like 6 or 7, like just doodling around. But I remember that art case and being like, this is cool that this is out there and it's all in this one place. I don't have to go scrounge around my house for colored pencils. Like, it's all right here. I don't know if that kickstarted like my life and being a creative, but I do remember that art case and being really floored by that. But I was thinking about it.
Oh, no, I just think that's so interesting that it's not the creating that made you go, oh, yeah, but like the materials available to you. Because yeah. I think art supplies totally fuck. Like, making art is cool, but like collecting art supplies is totally different.
But yeah. Anyway. And I'm sure I've had iterations of that art case over my life. I mean, I think about the colored pencil box I had in elementary school all the way to my architectural toolbox I had in college, where I just like would go to Meininger's and buy,
oh my God,
lead for my yes. lead pointers and different protractors and markers. I probably spent, there's these stupid pens or Micron pens. They're like $1.50 each, which is so insane for a pen. Yeah. But they were like $3. They were stupidly expensive. No. I would go and I had this beautiful toolkit that I would take to studio with me in college, and just having that at my resource was like, okay, I can make anything. Like, as long as I have this set of supplies that I need, the world's my oyster.
Fuck
yeah. But I will say, for painting, like, thinking about this the other day, and I wish I still had it, because my dear sweet dad kept most of the things I've created in my life. They're all hanging in his office. But I painted this, we were doing still lives in my high school painting class, and it was, I remember, it was like a couple apples, a bowl, like a dish bowl, and we probably spent 2 weeks on it, and we would go in, and the lights would already be off in the art room, and the still life was lit up the same every day. And I remember I was painting an apple, and I like freaked out because I finally got that green color perfect. And I was like looking at the painting and looking up, and I was like, I didn't think that my brain and my skills could do that. But all of a sudden I was like, I matched that color, and the rest of the painting just came together. And I'm so mad. I think it's somewhere in my parents' house. I would love to find that painting again. But I think about that painting a lot, being like, I think that was a moment I realized that this was a medium I liked and I could control. And it took me a couple years later to get back to it. But I think about that painting a lot. That might be my painting inspiration.
That's mm-hmm. fucking awesome. Like, I love that rush that you're describing of like, I fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
Like, and then.
And then the rest of the painting fell into place too, which was even great. If it had just been that apple, I would have been so pissed off to just have like this one perfect spot with like a mess around it. But that turned out, I'm going to go find it now and it's going to be total shit. I'm going to be so sad that it was like so much cooler 8 years ago.
Hey.
It's it matters like what it felt in that moment, honestly. Yeah. Like, because like I'm looking back and just like remembering now, oh, my band in like middle school, we played it like the spring play. Or not the spring play, the spring dance in middle school, which I'm sure sounded terrible. We were just little 12-year-olds, like, screaming in the mics. Like, but I just remember, like, being at, like, Cold Stone with, like, my dad afterwards and just having this pure, like, bliss, like, adrenaline rush kind of thing.
Yeah, like a high. It was the riding a high.
Yeah, exactly. And just, like, those moments when you're, like, I loved that. And I think it's just, you know, I haven't thought about that moment in years, but
do you think you're still striving for that moment? Like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I want to hit that apple moment again. I think every time I paint, I'm like, I want to hit that moment where it's like, yes, I remember this feeling. It's this like ecstatic high of, I put my mind to it. This is what I pictured. Like I said earlier, like, is it what you pictured? Is it exactly, did it come out how you were expecting. And there's another saying where, like, you're always searching for, like, the next high, or, like, referencing the biggest high in your life. And I think when you talk about that, like, do you think you're always coming back to that? Like, I want that cold stone moment again.
No, actually, I don't think I do, because I think it's just, at least for, like, shows, is every single one is going to be different. There's going to be different factors involved. There's going to be different people there. There's going to be different things that we're working towards. Like I can sit back and be like, oh, I can analyze certain aspects of this, that, or the other thing. Like, there are shows that I, you know, basically had that high again, but then, like, looking back is like, oh, I performed that so bad. Like, and, like, running it back through in my mind is like, oh, I messed that up. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I had the time of my life doing that. I had the time of my life hopping up on stage with my two best friends, you know, kicking dick, you know, balloons with dicks on them around, playing songs. And I think it's just, for me, at least with, like, performing, and I'd imagine this would be way different for someone who does, like, musical theater, or if, like, if you went on Broadway and you had, like, to play the, do the same show, like, 7 days a week, and you'd be like, oh, I messed up that one or something. Whereas, like, I'm at the point with, you know, I'm not going up and doing the exact same show every night. And so it's just kind of like those shows, everything, something's different about each show. And so there's something new to enjoy, and it's a new moment to have fun with, kind of thing. So it's just kind of that high is always a potential that can come from it. It's, I think it's just kind of, I've learned, at least in my experience, it's how you approach those moments. Mm. Like, in each show is that potential. And what I love about playing shows is it's, you know, it's a time for, I get to share, I basically kind of get to create this little community of people I know and people I don't know. And we get to forget about everything else that's going on in the world for 20 to 30 minutes and just, you know, play some tunes and be jackasses on stage and do whatever kind of bullshit prank we were pulling this week. And, you know, it's just, I think that I lucked out with my medium because I got to recognize, like, you know, shows are an escape. And I would argue that even more so, shows are an escape for me. So, you know, it's just a very, to an extent, it's like a safe, like, period of time of just pure vulnerability ultimately. So.
Okay. Well, yeah. I think saying that, like, every show has that potential is really important, because we can try and recreate the same thing over and over again. Like, you can keep trying to paint that damn apple, but, like, I mean, I think you should, actually. I think that would be a fun project for you to revisit. Anyway.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But, like, I don't know, you should do it anyway, because, like, it could happen, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I mean, I do have, like, specific paintings or images that I'm, like, intentionally recreating in a way to sort of experience that, like, this is the same thing that I've done, but everything's a little different. I don't know. I think that that's interesting. Like, not playing the same show every night. Like, yeah. 'Cause every experience really is different. Every jacket you paint is different. Maybe you say you paint, like, similar, like, flowers or images on them, but, like, each one is unique and can give you that sort of.
I think if we were always trying to recreate the same thing, we would never do it again. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, Broadway shows only run for a couple months, because I don't think you could get those actors to do it for the rest of their lives. And bands switch up their live sets regularly. Like, I don't know, I would get so fucking bored if I had to paint the same thing over and over again. Okay. Like, I'm at the point now where I'm not painting peonies anymore. Like, I did it too much. I'm burnt out. Got to do something different. So, yeah, I like the idea of, like, striving for, maybe not striving for a high, but striving to just do, striving to meet that feeling in different ways every time. Because, yeah, I guess if you were to repeat the same actions, you'd feel crazy.
Yeah, I think also one thing that helped me too with that, instead of I'm not like chasing that high kind of thing, it's, you know, like, growing up and going to shows in, like, middle school and high school, like, those were some of, like, my favorite memories. And I always loved going to shows. Like, I loved, you know, it was just kind of, you were in this, you know, gross, sweaty sea of people screaming about something, and you were all on the same page in that moment, and you were, you know, dealing with something different in your lives. And it was just kind of, I guess it's just that sense of coming together and then being able to, I guess I was always kind of chasing to recreate that sense of community and, you know, I guess give back and be, you know, that sense of calm and escape for other people.
And I really am curious that you say that, because I've only been in the audience of shows, and I can't tell you the number of times I've been like in the middle of Red Rocks and I stopped and looked around and been like, we're all here for the same reason. We are all experiencing the same thing, but all super differently. And I'm really glad to hear that the people on stage know that that's happening. Cause for me, that's like the magic of shows. And I have been going to shows for a really long time, and I love the music and I love the experience of it all, but literally stopping myself every time I'm at a show, looking around being like, we're all here for the same reason. We all love this one thing, but we're all going to do this a little bit differently is so cool. And I, every time I'm at Red Rocks, I'm like, do they know that? Do they know that we're here for the same reasons and we love this? Like, do they feel this feeling of like, I don't know these strangers, but we're all like super content to be here. And side note, that's really nice to hear that you know that.
Yeah. And one of my favorite things too, is when bands, like specifically Red Rocks too, is like Red Rocks is like being in, you know, living in Colorado, we lucked the fuck out with Red Rocks. Oh my God. That is like the world's destination. Like, you made it when you sold out Red Rocks. And so one of my favorite things is, you know, it's kind of like video reactions of bands who sell out Red Rocks for the first time. Like, they, like, that is like just watching pure bliss. And like, they, like, 80% of the time they just break down crying. They're like, I can't believe this is real. And that, for me, that's just like so heartwarming.
Yeah.
And I love that. But yeah,
but I think they're hitting that high. I mean, in my mind, I think that would be like a creative high for them. And maybe they don't always strive to meet that again, but I guess you hit different highs, right? Like, you reach a certain point where you create something or you experience something where it's like, all right, again, that was a peak. Like, that was perfect. That was everything I wanted it to be. But I like watching them cry. I do like watching them be like so overwhelmed by how cool it is that they're there. But I have to think that like they'll strive for that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, do you think that you're striving for that Apple moment?
Yeah.
Over and over again?
But not because I'm painting an apple over and over again. So I understand what you're saying, where you're like, I every show is different. Mm-hmm. Every project you do is different. But I do think like I painted a image of a sun, basically. Mm-hmm. And I had to paint like facial features, which I was so scared of doing, but it finally clicked and it happened. And the finished project was exactly what it was supposed to be. And it was an apple moment. It worked, like it happened, it worked out, and I hit that high of like, all right, this is something I can do. And I guess it could just reiterate the fact that like, this isn't a lost cause, this isn't something that I can't do, this is something that I'm actually kind of good at and can push myself to try things that are super uncomfortable, but do them. And I think I do strive for apple moments. That's gonna be a thing now. Where's my apple moment?
Oh, I love that. Well, I mean, it's also just like a, you know, it's a nice little like self-confidence boost, and it's just like that self-fulfillment. It's like, I think, you know, because like, I guess for me, it feels weird and I guess a little bit bad to say like, oh, I'm chasing that next high kind of thing. But it's just like, you know, it's, you know, you're just proving to yourself like, yeah, I have value and I can do some cool shit. And that's pretty cool. I should believe in myself. I'm worth believing in myself. And so it's like,
yeah, that's not to say that there aren't moments in between that are just as cool. Mm-hmm. Like, there are still moments where I'm sure you like write a good lyric. You're like, this is great. It's not up here level high, but like, that was awesome. And I'm glad I did that. Or the moments in between, I think, are just as good, but I think it's super important and really fulfilling to hit those really high highs and just reaffirm that this isn't stupid. Like, I think I've been through many creative adventures where I'm like, this is dumb, throw it away, this is dumb, wasn't worth the time. But yeah, you hit those moments where it's like, yeah, that was worth the time and the patience and the stress to have a cool moment like that.
Yeah, and you'll never get those moments if you don't fucking do it.
Yeah, you know? If you don't have the lows and the in-betweens, those moments will never come. I'm gonna paint an apple again. There's just gonna be one lone apple on the jacket, or maybe I'll do that. That guy holding the apple in front of his face. I can't name the artist, which is really sad.
I was just thinking of the Twilight cover, actually, but.
I will find some mega nerd out there and do a Twilight jacket. That would be funny.
That would be incredible.
I did have somebody ask me to do dog jackets, which I think that would be incredible. Like, very niche, but I think a lot of people would pay for that. So yeah, that might be the next endeavor, is custom dog jackets.
Ugh. Oh, man. I would love that.
Jacket. Should be a lot. Apple on dog jackets. Who knows?
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know. I thought there was a pretty good beat earlier there to roll those credits. But, like, I want to, before we wrap up, I want to ask you, like, what's next for you?
I need work. I am very slow right now. But I, now that I've kind of burnt myself out, like I said, on doing those peonies in particular, I want to do something really uncomfortable. I think I have somebody who's interested in doing a jacket for their niece with her face on it, which scares the bejesus out of me, because I think,
yeah, that's kind of an intense
super intense. I mean, it's not just doing somebody's likeness, which I think is incredibly difficult. It's something that somebody that means a lot to that person. It's not like I'm painting some random person's face on like a cool jacket. It's somebody who they know. So I'm really scared of that idea, but I'm also, it's the same thing as the sun. Like, can I do it? Is this something that I can push myself to do? And I'll get one shot at it. And if it turns out great, that's going to be awesome. Because that's a whole new door that opens up. Like, if I can ace that, then I'm sure I'll feel more comfortable doing. I've had a lot of people ask for faces. I don't know why everyone wants their own face on the back of a jacket, but they do, which I think is super vain.
That'll freak
me
out.
Yeah, I don't want that. It's super
weird.
My brain
freaks me out. I'm like, let's try again later.
And also, like, I don't know. I can't imagine walking around with my own face. The jacket I have for myself is a Biggie Smalls jacket. And even that feels weird. I'm like, I have somebody's face on the back of my jacket. Like, this is strange. But I guess next is, like, yeah, I want work that challenges me. And I also want to get into, I know I, like, kind of trashed. I'm not trash talked it. I would like to do portrait art. Or not portrait art. Still art. Like, canvases and art for people's homes. Just trying out that medium instead of painting jackets and just seeing what canvas feels like. I would love to do more of that, but I think I still like clothing. I'd love to do a pair of shoes. I think a custom pair of sneakers would be really, really cool. Patrick, your suitcase got me much more confident painting like other materials. So,
yeah, I loved how you were just like, you were like telling me like you were nervous about it. And then you're just like, wait, I literally picked like the hardest thing to paint on with denim.
I know. I was like, the soft leather is going to be so tricky. And then I'm like, wait, you paint denim? That's real tricky. So the suitcase was actually so much easier than the jacket. But yeah, just pushing myself further, sticking to it. I have two new jobs now that kind of fill up a lot of my time. And so I'm making sure I still have time to paint is going to be something I see myself struggling with, but as long as I have a project that I'm passionate about, I'm sure I'll figure out time to do it.
Yeah, I love that, because that's something that I've gotten a lot better at too, is like I used to always, you know, kind of be super anxiety pants over here and like sad about everything. It's like, well, if I work 60 hours a week, I can't think about anything, but then I can't do the things that I love to do anyways. So it's just like, you know, learning to like, yeah, work is kind of important, but like doing the stuff you like doing is just as important. So
yeah, because it's hard. I mean, my job is not super creatively fulfilling, so I still will need that on the side. And
yeah,
I know I'm the same, Beth. I can't stay up all night, but I can see myself coming home and doing a little bit and then going to bed. But
gotta find like that, those 2 hours that I have between like getting home, eating dinner, and going to bed. I'm like,
yeah.
Those all-nighter days might be behind us.
I kind of miss those, to be honest. Like, I can't do that shit anymore. I'm too old. But, man, the Red Bulls, the coffee out of the pot, just painting all fucking night. Damn. Anyway.
Oh. Plug your shit.
Oh, plug your shit.
Plug my shit.
Where can we find you?
I'm on Instagram. It's Miranda Made Customs. Miranda Made Customs with a period in between. I take DMs through there, so there's no like outside source that you need if you want a jacket. Just DM me through there. And that's it.
Or shoes.
Maybe an Etsy. Yes, send me shoes. Send me a leather jacket. I would love to do kind of just any different medium. I think I'm definitely going to stick to apparel as far as what I'm like taking commissions on. But test me with apparel. Let's see what I can paint. I'd be happy to give it a try.
Hell yes.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. I am like honored and flattered that you asked me to do this.
Of course. And also we actually have, it's now customary. We can't break it now.
To
close it out. So what feels like home to you?
Oh, I was so worried you're gonna like make me sing something. I was like, oh no, they're gonna ask me to like sing their outro. don't know why that went through my vein. What feels like home to me? Try not to give you like a super cliche answer.
Hey, cliches exist for a reason, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I live nearby my family home. So obviously like going home makes me feel like home. I guess now in the last like 4 months, my life has completely like kind of flip-flopped a couple times, and finding time to be around my friends has become really, really hard. So that recently has become something that's really home-like. I think having a year where we were all kind of in our own houses and tentative around each other, being around people who I'm close to and feel safe around again has felt really, really comforting. So not just my family, but seeing my friends on my days off has been really nice to feel like home. And painting. Am I supposed to say painting makes me feel like home? Well, I feel at home with painting.
Like, I mean, there's, like, yes, we're people who make things, but there's more to our lives and more that affect us than just making the things that we do.
Yeah, no, I agree. And for me, like, making my jackets is something I wish was a bigger part of me, but honestly, right now, like, it's very much, like, a little side hobby. So maybe the more I get into it and the more projects I take on, it'll feel more like home. But, yeah, I mean, I do a lot of other things, so...
Yeah.
Wish I had a better answer. Traveling feels like home, but I can't travel right now.
I think that's a great answer.
Thanks.
Like, especially with, everyone getting vaccinated again. It's like you get to see the people you care about again.
No, I get to see my parents. I mean, they are my home, but I couldn't see them for, they've been so off and on about having us back at the house with everything going on. And my brother and I are now fully vaccinated. They're like, come home all the time. I'm like, I can't anymore. Like, the world has opened back up again, and I would love to come see you guys all the time. But being able to see them again is going to be really nice. There's something precious in its design. The way the door shut, but I still can't see through fine. You're still on my mind. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. I'm very, very happy. I'm excited to hear this come out. I hate the sound of my own voice, but I will listen to this whole thing probably.
Same, but I like,
I don't know how you do this. You probably have to hear yourself so much. Whew.